You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
I try not to be too superstitious. I just think the more you kind of, the bigger deal you make it in your head, the more nervous and the more unattainable I think the goal seems. So I just try to treat everything as if it's our job to train, produce horses. And I just try to have the mindset that this is what we've been preparing for and we're just going to do our best. And it's the same day as every other day, even though it's not, but you just have to be in that mindset of every day you wake up is a day of excellence. It's a day of doing your best, treating the horses the best.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman Podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and this week's episode is with five-star eventer Cosby Green. Cosby and I spoke in early January at the start of a new competition year, with new goals ahead for the world number 10 rider on the FEI Eventing World Athlete Rankings. To give you a little more background on Cosby, she made her five-star debut at Poe in 2023 with Copper Beach. The following year, the pair completed the Badminton and Burley CCI five-stars. 2025 was an illustrious year for Cosby, starting off with her senior team debut at the FEI Eventing Nations Cup Great Britain, where she and Highly Suspicious helped the U.S. team earn silver. Next, she competed in the Lemulin CCI 5-star, finishing in the top 8 with Highly Suspicious and Yas UFO de Quidam. Cosby then rode Clever Louie at the FEI Eventing Nations Cup Belgium, helping the U.S. earn another silver medal finish. She piloted MBF Party Time to 5th place in the FEI Eventing World Breeding Championship for 7-year-olds. Cosby closed out the year with 2 strong finishes at the Poe CCI 5-star. While Cosby is originally from Lexington, Kentucky, she has her training base at Cheddington Equestrian in Dorset, England. In our discussion, Cosby talks about taking the leap of going to learn and compete overseas, what she enjoys about eventing, her training philosophy, and more. Before getting into the conversation with Cosby, I'd like to share a word from this episode's sponsor, US Rider. Whenever you call US Rider Answers, we are your trusted equestrian roadside ally, ensuring your horse's safety on the road. Count on us for towing, flat tire repairs, and more for your vehicle and horse trailer. Plus, access emergency, veterinary, farrier, and stabling referrals to keep your horses healthy. Stay on the road and in the saddle with US Rider. Visit usrider.org today and become a member. Now, let's jump right into the conversation with Cosby.
I think it was in January of 2023, I believe, that you went to work for the New Zealand Olympians, Tim and Janelle Price. Could you talk about that decision, to how it came about to go train in England with them?
Yeah, so I graduated from the University of Kentucky in December of 2022. And it was kind of after then, I was just kind of weighing out my options of what should I be doing. And I've always obviously been eventing my whole life. And I decided if I was going to give it a go, then I should try to go be with the best in the world. So I kind of explored some options. And then ultimately at the time, Tim and Janelle were number 1 and number 2. So I went ahead and I just had never met either of them and just reached out to Janelle and asked her if it'd be possible I could just come and train with her and learn from her and bring my 3 horses with me. And thankfully, just because of the move to Cheddington Equestrian, there was plenty of space. And so the stars kind of aligned and I blindly packed all my bags and everything and just headed over there, not knowing a soul, never even having met them in person.
Wow. A big leap for sure.
Yeah.
And kind of what were some of the, you know, differences with training and competing in England versus the U.S.?
I just think the weather is something that I really don't realize how much of a difference it is. I've been very lucky my whole life, most of my life, most of my career, to have gone down to Ocala for most of the winters, or Aiken. And so I really, you know, it's January 1st, the horses were in full work and you were getting ready for Rocking Horse, or you're getting ready for something really early on. And there was always kind of, you had to be ready to compete almost year round, just due to the nature of the weather and everything. So that's something that's been a bit of a change. It's not just me personally getting used to the cold and to the wet and the mud and everything, but it's also for the horses. Their schedule really changes around that. We really have to have the horses rest when the weather's bad. And, you know, we kind of have to work with nature a little bit more over here. And I found that actually to be a huge benefit for the horses, to give them a little bit more time, a little bit more holiday, and just to kind of ease into things a little bit more. As much as it makes me panic a little bit that I feel like I'm not doing enough, it's paid off a lot for the horses and their mental and physical well-being.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be a big change, I imagine, with the weather over there versus Florida in the winter.
Yeah.
So you were like nearing your 3-year mark since you've headed over there. And what do you think some of the biggest takeaways are that you've learned so far from the experience?
Oh, gosh. biggest takeaways. I think some of the biggest takeaways is just if things don't go to plan and a result doesn't happen the way you want it to, or you know, it just, something doesn't go to plan, as it always does with horses, is it's just not to think about too much, and then just to keep crack on, as they say over here, just to keep going and to learn from your mistakes, and just to know that it's just not too deep, and there's always another horse show the same weekend, and there's just so much ability to just get the horses exposed and experience. And I think that's been really putting things in perspective for me of trying to really embrace mistakes and embrace failures and try to turn them into something good, because everyone's out here just trying to figure out how to do the right thing. So it's been really eye-opening to see these people I've idolized and almost seem like, you know, I've fangirled over my whole life. And it's just, you know, you're out there, you're doing the season with them, and you see things not good to plan with them as well. And, you know, it just makes you feel like it's all a little bit more normal. So that's been a pretty big takeaway. And then also just, you know, being based around the people that I've been with, is I just feel like very lucky that my opinion on what is good training and what is a good, you know, management system, those are all things that have really elevated since I've been over here. And I really contribute that to just being around excellence day in and day out. And I think that really makes a difference. I've just found a lot of success to be kind of increased by just small different things of, you know, just they're all tiny little things of maybe how you groom a horse or how you look after them, and just the attention to detail is, I've just found all those things that you know, you might not always think about, but they make a really big difference and for the end results. So that's another big takeaway that I've had.
No, absolutely. That just, yeah, seems so true with, you know, everyone's program and their methods, and there's a lot of similarities, but sometimes there's something new you can learn from different people, and it's great to take that with you.
Yeah.
So kind of taking a look back, could you tell me how you got your start riding horses?
So I've always just been obsessed and crazed with horses for forever, as long as my memory has begun. So I grew up, my grandparents did breed thoroughbreds, but I wasn't too, you know, too aware of what was happening with that. But I just kind of loved them immediately. Always had, you know, toy horses and everything. And I was just begging my parents to let me ride horses as soon as I could. And the local riding school, they allowed us to start riding when we were 4. So as soon as I turned 4, I got my first lessons in at Champagne Run in Lexington, Kentucky. And then it just really kind of hit off from there. I started started there learning how to post the trot, and then Maggie, she took me all the way up to 3 stars. So I really spent a good amount of time there, and it really kind of cultivated my passion for horses and the sport. And eventing was all there was really at that place at the time, at that farm. And so it's kind of all I knew. And I'm pretty sure at one point thought that was the only discipline or option available, just because it was the only thing around me. So it just kind of happened by chance. And I've never looked back since. And I've just tried to, you know, ride anything that I could back in the days, and even still to this day, because I just think there's lessons to be learned from every horse. And they've all, you know, some good, some bad, but they've all helped me be where I am today.
Awesome. Yeah. It's always kind of fun to hear where, you know, how people got their start with horses, and everyone's story is kind of unique. But what is it that you enjoy about eventing?
I love how difficult it is. It's just so difficult to get all 3 phases done as well as you want to do. I would say I've still never had that day where every phase has gone to plan. But it definitely gives me a nice goal and keeps me hungry to keep training and trying to be better, to perfect each phase to the best of my abilities. And I just love that there are so many different aspects to it. The horse, to compete at the top level, they have to be well-rounded in every aspect. They have to be trained. They have to trust you. They have to have the endurance. You know, there's so many different things that they have to have and you have to have as a partnership to achieve that. So that's something that I just think is a lifelong dream of chasing, how to master that. So I love the challenge, and specifically I also love the adrenaline of the cross country. It's really fun to dissect a difficult track and then to execute the plan. That's something I just find really satisfying, and it's just such a rush, and cross country is why every eventer does eventing. So so that's definitely the best part for me.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely quite a test for horse and rider to, you know, master the 3 phases. And so what is it about horses that have kept you involved with the sport?
I would say horses are the thing that have kept me in the sport, full stop. That is, you know, that's the love and that's the passion that, you know, we have as, you know, younger people. And so that's something I've leaned on and relied on, and it's really is the foundation of everything. But I just love how horses have no reason to be doing what we're asking them to do. You know, they have no reason to be jumping through a skinny that's, you know, very skinny, or a corner that's on a really difficult line, or jumping blindly into the water. But I just love how they want to do their best for us. And I just think it's our job to do the best for them as well. And I just love their kind hearts and their willingness to please. And I could go on and on about it, but I love how, you know, they teach people with no words spoken, and there's always something to be learned. And you can just, you know, they can point out your flaws and, you know, in 30 minutes and teach you how to be better for it, and teach you patience. There's just so much to be taken away from them, and they're just beautiful, intelligent, athletic animals. And what's not to love about them?
No, that's so true. Yeah. What a great kind of overview of horses, with just being kind and so athletic and willing. And absolutely. Could you tell me about some of the most influential horses in your career thus far, who they are, what they're like, and why they have been influential?
Yeah. So I would say my heart horse and my favorite would be Copper Beach. He was the first horse I've ever gotten that really kind of held my hand and took me places. And he was experienced before I got him. So he just filled me with so much confidence. And he was the horse I did my first 5 stars on. I did Poe, Badminton, and Burley on. And he was just an absolute legend, and so kind and such a good teacher. He always did what I told him to do. He wasn't the easiest, and he had a funny character, but he just really was the best kind of way for me to just gain experience and be encouraged to teach the younger generation. So he is currently 20 years old and he just retired about a year ago. So he's living very happily at my farm in Kentucky. And yeah, he just really gave me even more love for the sport. And then I would say another really influential horse I have is Highly Suspicious. His barn name is Puff, and I've had him since I was about 16 years old. And I had no business, you know, riding him when I was 16. I, you know, couldn't ride one side of him, and you know, he's a difficult horse, but we've learned through everything together. I've made lots of mistakes with him, you know, and then also many victories. And he, you know, the Moulin performance in the 5-star this past year was something that, you know, I've always dreamed of as a little girl. And, you know, he made those dreams come true, and he's just continued to get better with age. And he really is aging like fine wine. He's just getting wiser, and he's only getting better. So he's a horse that I'm really proud that I've stuck with him, even though it's not always been easy. That I'm proud that we've grown together, and it's a really special thing to have been in America as a teenager, and now we're over here in the UK and on the Europe side, and we're putting our best foot forward.
Awesome. Yeah, two very special horses, and wow, you know, the journeys you've been on with them and taking you to your first 5-stars and then continuing at the 5-star level. And since you've had him since 16, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
And, you know, speaking of your results in 2025, you had a lot of really impressive results at the FEI level. And, you know, you reached 10th in the FEI Eventing World Athlete Rankings after kind of that big year that you had. And what does that ranking mean to you?
It still feels surreal, and I think it always will feel surreal, and you know, hopefully it will only get better in the future, but you know, we've got goals. But it's just such an honor and a privilege and a oh my gosh moment just to kind of sit back and reflect and try to be really proud of everything that we've done. And the most thing it makes me proud of is just of the team and the people that are behind me and that believe in me. That's just like, I just think that speaks volumes to everyone. You know, it just takes everyone to achieve these kind of results and consistent results. And that is just such a testament to the people that I have behind me, that my groom, Tilly, who's keeping me on track and the horses on track and working so hard for us. And all those little things really matter and count. And yeah, it's just kind of just thanks to the whole team. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's definitely not always going to be all highs or all good, but it's good to enjoy the moment of something so surreal. And yeah, just to be really thankful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like you said so well, it's such a team effort. Obviously, you're helping make it all happen, but the horses and the grooms and everyone. And just, yeah, an impressive achievement for sure.
Thank you.
Could you tell me about some of the most important wins you've had in your career thus far that kind of stick out in your mind?
Gosh, well, I've not won too much, but I would say, as far as winning goes, probably would be winning the 4-star short at Morven Park in Morven Park before I came over here. I think that was 2022, I guess, with Copper Beach. That was a win that I got really emotional about, just because it was my first 4-star win, and it was with that horse that I love so much, and I had my whole family there, and it was just a really kind of special moment. And just, you know, I just wanted to have that happen more often, as we all do. But yeah, just kind of gave me a nice taste to just to be even more ambitious. And then, yes, as far as winning, I would consider finishing a 5-star win all in itself. I feel like I've had a lot of, you know, just small wins and stuff and goals, and achieving them has just kind of been a dream come true. And I just hope to continue to be able to do that. And I hope to win more things in the future, but yeah, we'll see.
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, there's personal wins, like you said.
Yeah.
Finishing a 5-star is a very big deal.
Yeah.
So when you compete, do you ever get nervous? And if so, how do you handle your nerves?
Yes, I definitely get nervous. And I think if you don't get nervous, something's wrong. But yeah, I just think it's competing with horses, it's such a mental game. So you really have to be able to dial in and figure out how to handle and address those nerves. So I just try to turn my nerves into planning of how am I going to execute, and just keep reminding myself that I've got a plan and I'm prepared for this. I've done my homework. The horses are, you know, ready for where they need to be, and just put our best foot forward. But really, it is also just getting experience and gaining confidence. That's a really big thing. I think that kind of calms the nerves down. But yeah, it's definitely, I know I don't have it figured out, but it's definitely been a journey of how to, you know, mentally how to keep the nerves at bay and use them to your advantage, really.
Now, that's such a good point, because, you know, and that's a fair point too, about if you're, you should probably be a little nervous when you're competing at these big events. And
yeah,
that's a common feeling, I think, amongst riders.
Yeah.
So for kind of big competitions that you compete at, do you have a certain routine that you like to follow there? You know, sometimes people are superstitious, or they, you know, want to do things a certain way, but how do you kind of approach those big competitions?
I try not to be too superstitious. I just think the more you kind of, the bigger deal you make it in your head, the more nervous and the more unattainable I think the goal seems. So I just try to treat everything as if it's, you know, it's our job to train, produce horses. And I just tried to have the mindset that this is what we've been preparing for, and we're just going to do our best. And it's the same day as every other day, even though it's not, but you just have to be in that mindset of every day you wake up is a day of excellence. It's a day of doing your best, treating the horses the best. And so I wouldn't say I'm too superstitious, but I just try to stay, yeah, just focused and not too worked up about anything.
Sure. Now that's seems like a very good mindset. And I like what you said about excellence and trying to do your best, you know, because obviously that's what everybody wants and hopefully can do on the day, and not let, you know, nerves or things get in the way too much. So thinking about training, could you describe your training philosophy with horses?
Yeah. So I think it's just good to think about, well, I tried to treat each horse as an individual. Every horse does have their, you know, their own way that they learn the best, or that they prefer to be handled and all these things. But I'm just saying one of my biggest philosophies is just kind of keeping things black and white and, you know, pressure and release. And that's just trying to speak the horse's language and try to make things very clear for them, because they like clarity. So I try to do my best to deliver clear messages to the horses. So that's something that's kind of, you know, through everything and on every horse, despite how different they might be, is it's my job as the rider to make sure the horse understands what's being asked of them, and I'm asking them in a correct, good way. So that's kind of that. It varies to the horses of how that might kind of be carried out. Some are more sensitive, some need a little bit more encouragement, all these kind of things. But that's kind of the underlying message that I really, really believe in.
Awesome. Now that's such a good point about, you know, horses being individuals and treating them as such, and what works for one, you might not work for another.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about the fitness routines you have with your horses? Obviously they need to be very fit for what they do. So what does that kind of look like for them?
Yeah. So we do a lot of hacking, like a lot, that it's almost mind-numbing amount of hacking, but it's just such a good way to create their foundation fitness, and it's something to build on. So here in the winter, they've all do a month of hacking, and it's very tedious and you wonder what it's all for, but it just really does set them up for success, and it really just allows their body to come into themselves and be prepared to take on more work. And so I think just hacking and trotting up hills and all those kind of things are just really good non-taxing ways to get them fit. We definitely integrate the water treadmill in our schedule. I think that's another really amazing tool that just doesn't really pound on their legs or their feet too hard. And it's just, an amazing tool, builds muscle, all these things. And then we just do the good old traditional galloping up the hills as everyone does. And I've just found the combination of these things, it really is creating good, fit, happy horses.
Awesome. Very cool. It's always kind of interesting to hear, how people approach their horse's fitness and work to improve it over, like you said, that's great about having a month of hacking to really get them going and feeling good from the get-go.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite training exercise? And if so, could you describe it, whether that's just kind of jumping or flat work or whatever that might be?
Yeah, so I love grids in general. I just think that I just love how the horse can really learn to work themselves and they can figure out how to operate themselves. And, you're kind of just guiding them on how best to do that, but not necessarily telling them how to do that. But I would say I love a grid that has multiple bounces in it, then to an oxer, maybe one or two strides to an oxer, so that way they have to use their scope, and then maybe a couple verticals on the way out that have cavalettis and placing pulls, and just something for them to have to learn how to be catty and quick. And it can of course be a variation of something along those lines, but I just really like something that gets them thinking, learning where their legs are, and just kind of treating it as a gym of creating that positive good muscle memory and testing the limits and testing their scope with gained confidence from repetition of going through the grid repetitively.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like, a lot of really good training for them as they navigate 5-star courses or whatever level they're competing at.
Yeah.
So how do you stay fit for riding? Are there any specific workouts that you like to do?
I wouldn't say anything too specific. I just typically, if I've got a full stable of horses, I would say I'm lacking a little bit on the fitness just because I'm riding so many, and at the end of the day I've got about nothing left. But when I'm not riding as much or I need to be extra fit before 5-star or something along these lines, we've got an amazing gym here on site at Cheddington, and so I just go in there and kind of put together something. I've been very lucky to have some good training in the past when I was in America, so I love to kind of make different workouts for myself and incorporate a bit of cardio, incorporate some strength training, and kind of put everything together. So I would say I definitely don't work out as much as I should, but I think it's very important to be fit and to be doing well for your horses. I think that's of the utmost importance.
Oh yeah, that's a great point. I'm sure you stay very fit riding a lot of horses, and who doesn't feel like they probably should work out a little more?
Yeah.
I know I'm
yeah.
that way. Yeah. But focusing on, being the best version of yourself for your horses. So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
So we went through most of my questions. I just have kind of a couple more wrap-up questions for you. Thinking about the sport, equestrian sport, what is the hardest part of the sport for you?
Failure as well. That's just inevitable. And it's sometimes just hard to kind of to see the light and to see the end of the tunnel when you're in those kind of dark holes, or maybe things aren't going right and it feels like everything's going wrong. I think sometimes the hardest part is just putting your boots on and getting out there and just keep going and these things. And it's just, that's a pretty difficult thing, but in the end it does pay off. And that, that hard work is what makes, success at the end. And yeah, you just keep going.
Now that's a good point. Sometimes those tough days can be hard to deal with, but part of the sport, and it's, you know, something to strive for, to continue moving forward and working hard and, you know, for the love of your horses a lot of the time. Is there something about you that people don't know that you could share? Sometimes people have kind of like their hobbies that they're into and something like that. But if you don't feel like there's anything, that's fine too.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy painting in the off season, and when things are a little bit more chill, I love to just kind of play around with a little bit of art. I wouldn't say I'm very good at it, but it's something that I really like to do. Or if I feel like I'm getting a little bit too stressed for competition, I just try to paint and to focus on something else. And and then I would also say I love to travel. That's something that I've really kind of have been lucky enough to discover, that I just love to see new places. I love to just explore new things.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's fun to hear kind of people's hobbies and different ways to unwind, or, you know, whether that's painting or seeing the world.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what makes a good horse person?
Well, there's a lot of things that makes a good horse person. I just think the best horse people that I know listen to their horses. I think it's to know not when to let your goals or your ambitions kind of get in the way, or kind of blind anything you see. I just think a good horse person is someone that listens to the horse, whether that's exerting them too much or not enough, or, you know, listening to what they really like. And I just think a good horse person is able to make any horse the best version of themselves. And that's something that I also, you know, want to be and strive to be, is to make the horses their happiest, best versions of themselves.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a great point. So why do you think you've been successful thus far in your career as kind of a rider and trainer?
Lucky. I would say that I'm lucky. It feels a lot like luck. But I would just say I'm very lucky to have a lot of ambition. I would say ever since I was a little girl, this is kind of what I've been manifesting and dreaming and wanting and just trying to achieve, ever since I can remember. So I just kind of just think having that blind determination of getting there is something that has definitely helped me get to where I am, because I always, no matter what, whether it's doing well or not doing well, I just always want to be better, and I want to learn how to be a better horse person, how to be a better competitor. I just think it's important to always stay hungry and to always want to be the best you can be.
No, that's great. Yeah, it's great to be ambitious and also to have maybe a little luck along the way as well.
Yeah, a lot of luck, because it does take a lot of luck and great people.
Yes, yeah, good supporters are often a big part of it as well. So what is next for you and your horses? I know it's early in the season since it's just January, but what kind of do the next few months, or if there's any things for the year ahead that you're eyeing for you and your horses?
Yeah, so I'd love to, first of all, yeah, we're just getting them kind of back into work. They're hacking, they're starting to school lightly and kind of progressing, increasing the workload very slowly, and kind of listen to see how they've come through their holidays and kind of make a plan from there. But I would love to do some five stars, continue to just become more well-rounded and established at the level, and just continue to get the younger horses to upgrade potentially, and also just maintain confidence at the level. I set them all up last year. So just continue to get them really solid at the level and perhaps be a bit more competitive across the whole string with all the horses. And I'd love to travel to Europe a bit more this year. And just, I think it's just great exposure to see those different kind of tracks, and obviously continue to do the British tracks. And I just hope to kind of get a more well-rounded kind of competition year.
Thanks for listening to this week's conversation with Cosby Green, and a big thank you to this episode's sponsor, US Rider. Learn more at usrider.org. You can listen to the Practical Horseman podcast on your favorite podcast player or on horseradionetwork.com. While you're there, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Kathleen Landwehr, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman podcast.